Good to be here this morning, and we're so sorry for the tragedy that happened, and but when we got heard word of it, you know, that those kind of things are very confusing, and we don't know what to say, and I'm not going to even try to comfort anybody this morning, because I don't have the words, I don't have the ability to do that, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to tell you that any comfort that comes from anybody has to come from the Comforter, God Himself. So God is the only one that can comfort you in times like that. And God is a magnificent God, and God can handle anything. And so we look to God and we look to Him. So, but anyway, we enjoyed coming down and spending some time with the little kids, and you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing, and watching them feed their little animals, and so it was a wonderful treat, you know, it really was. Thank the Lord for it. But this morning, I ask that you pray for me. You know, as you go in the pulpit, you know, I don't care how much you study, when you get in the pulpit, you feel like you hadn't studied enough, and so we need your prayers. So y'all pray for us and pray for me that the Lord will bless me this morning. And I've started out, if the Lord will be with me and bless me, maybe we can get something out of it. It's a little prayer probably that you learned when you was a child. And probably one of the first ones that you learned to pray over your food. It says, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Read the Bible and always pray, do your best every day. So as we think about that, we think about how great God is and how wonderful He is. And God has given us a copy of His Word, His holy word, the Bible. And we're so blessed in America that we have a copy of His word. And even Paul tells us right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He said, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." He refers to the Bible as the holy scriptures. It says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed it in. You know, in Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, I think it says, you know, it tells you that the Bible was written. It was written under the direction of the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Spirit. You know, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible was written under the command and direction of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul called it the Holy Word of God. But anyway, he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we talk about how great God is. God is magnificent and God is great. And we turn back to Genesis chapter 1. And he says, it starts out with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you talk about magnificent and miraculous. You know, in the creation of God, the creating the earth is a magnificent thing. And it says, in the beginning, it said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, you know, I read, I think if I counted it correctly, in that first chapter there, You know, it said, and God said about 9 different times. And every time when it said God said, you know, something magnificent happened. It said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Have you ever tried to create something? You know, God created the heavens and earth. You know, sometimes certain people, they'll say, well, you know, he's very creative. You know, you ever try to make something out of nothing? It's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes we take the things around us and arrange them in certain ways and come up with something and say, well, look what I invented. But if you ever try to take nothing and create something, you know, it takes God to do that, doesn't it? And God, he took nothing and made the earth, didn't he? And he just spoke it and said, and God said, the power of God, God is great. He truly is great. And God said that let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Notice he's doing this in days, like regular days, like, you know, today's Sunday. Some people say, oh, that is certain periods of time. You know, I don't believe that. I think there were days. He did all he did there in 6 days, didn't he? And then he rested on the Sabbath day, didn't he? And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You ever been down to Florida to see the ocean? We all love to see the ocean. You know, the ocean is magnificent, isn't it? It takes it took God to make that ocean, didn't it? Nobody can make an ocean, can they? But it is magnificent, and those waves keep coming in all the time. They never stop. That is amazing, isn't it? How God created the earth and set all that stuff up. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. God is great and God is good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. It is amazing just looking, you know, just looking at the grass is so beautiful this morning. And those beautiful snowballs, I mean, they're beautiful this morning. And you know, see, God is magnificent, isn't he? God is great and he's magnificent. He can make all of those things. It said, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit after its kind. Everything is after its kind. You know, the Lord made things where they could continue on, didn't he? Procreation, even with people, you know. He made it where that it continues on, doesn't he? He said, in the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule by day, that was the sun. Do you think about how magnificent the sun is? You know, we take it for granted, don't we? I woke up this morning, light was coming in the window. You know, that was God's light that he created. The sun, it comes from the sun. And that sun is so magnificent and so bright that you can't look at it with your naked eyes. It'll damage your eyesight, you know. And that sun is so big and is so warm that it heats up the earth. And the earth is not the only planet. There are other planets in the universe, aren't there? God made them all. And the Bible says he made the earth and hung it on nothing. It moves, it stays in the same orbit. All of those planets stay in the same orbit. And they go around that sun that God made. And you know, that sun has been burning for 77 years, I know. I'm an eyewitness, okay? It's been burning for 77 years. And you know, it gives us daylight every morning. The earth, see, God's got the earth set up. And he invented all of that. God created all of that. You know, the great, magnificent, miraculous God created all of that, to where when the earth turns, you know, it gets dark. It gets dark every evening, don't it? It gets daylight every morning. You know, the time varies a little bit, but it happens every day, don't it? There'll always be daylight and dark, won't it? And there'll always, and you know, you ever notice that it gets hot every summer? Every June and July, it gets hot, don't it? Somehow or another, God has got that rotation of the earth set up just right, you know, to where we have what they call seasons. You know, and there'll always be seasons, won't there? Always be hot and cold. It'll always be day and night, won't it? Seed time and harvest. As long as the earth is here, that's going to take place, isn't it? You know, God is great, isn't it? God really is great. God is great and God is good. It is magnificent. And you know, we have people, sometimes I call them crazy people. They get up there and they worry, you know, about the earth and stuff like that. Hey, God made the earth. He created it all. He made it all. He even made us. We'll get to that in a minute, won't we? But anyway, he made it all. And, you know, I don't worry about the earth, do you? I mean, I'm not going to dirty up the creeks and stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to create poison and stuff like that to kill people or hurt people. But God knows how to handle his earth, don't he? You know, some people, they get there. You know, this morning I got up and we spent the night with Brant and them and enjoyed it. Wonderful, wonderful hospitality. Good cooking. You know, Rhoda's a good cook. Wonderful cook. Appreciate her. Appreciate the little kids. And we all read our Bibles last night, you know, and so we enjoyed it. It was a wonderful time, wasn't it? Thank the Lord for it. But anyway, God is magnificent. But anyway, we got God made the earth, okay? God made the earth, and he tells us in his word here. And some crazy people will get up there, and what I was going to say this morning, you know, I got up and I fixed my hair and I sprayed it. I put hairspray on it. Okay, you think I'm worried about tearing the ozone out? No, I don't worry about that ozone. You know, some crazy people in this world, they say if you use hairspray, it's going to tear the ozone out. And some of those people that are possessed with devils, they'll tell you, we're going to have to quit eating this meat. You know, we got to do away with beef. Because they're out there and they're burping and passing gas and things like that that's tearing the ozone out. Where did they get that? They did. You know, you think God don't know how to handle his earth? God knows how to fix his earth, don't he? You know, God made that cow. He knows everything about that cow. You know, they got to, you know, they're not like a person, but God made that cow just like he made us, didn't he? And you know, God knows how to handle it, okay? He knows how to handle everything. I don't worry about that. I let the crazy people worry about it, but I don't want them sending me no bill for it, okay? So anyway, so be it. But anyway, God is magnificent. And he made those two lights and, you know, the universe and everything. All right, and it gets right down to, it tells us about he made the whales in the ocean. He made everything. He made all the animals. You know what he made them animals out of? He made them out of the dust of the earth, didn't he? You know, that's creative, isn't it? You ever think about how many species there are of animals and birds and fish and all that? God made every one of them. And you know who named them? Adam named them. Adam named them, didn't he? Adam was pretty smart, wasn't he? You know, he messed up, but he was pretty smart. But anyway, we get to the point down here, and it said, and you know, God made the beast of the earth, and he said, let us make man. Said, make him in our image. Now, I can't explain that. I cannot explain how we're made in the image of God. But I know we are a little bit more special than all these other creatures because we're smarter. We can think. You know, you might have a dog or something like that. You say, boy, my dog is smart, you know. My dad used to have a little border collie. He could stand up at the house up there. He could send that border collie over and he'd round the cows up. And he'd bring them up to the gate. And people said, boy, that dog is smart, isn't he? He was, but he wasn't smart as people, was he? You know, they don't have the ability like us. See, when God made man, he made him a little special, didn't he? A little bit above those animals, didn't he? It said, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You ever noticed how everything's afraid of you? There's a reason for that, isn't it? That's the way God made it. You know, we were there yesterday, and a mama and two little deer come out. They were spotted, weren't they? They were spotted deer. And, you know, if they see you or something, they'll usually run away. They're afraid of you. And, you know, I've got, in my barn, I've got rat snakes. I don't like snakes. I really don't like them, okay? But, you know, they're God's creation. God made them. And you know what they do? They catch rats and mice. Where you got snakes like that, usually you don't have any rats and mice. And but anyway, you get out there and they're afraid of you. You know, they're afraid of you. They stay away from you. They don't let me see them usually. But I don't like to look at them. You know, I really don't like to look at them. And if they get to where they're not afraid of me, I get afraid of them. I had a big one. I had a big old 6-foot one out there, and he was curled up by a water bucket right there. He wasn't afraid of me at all. And anyway, I thought, well, I'm not going to bother you, but you know, I want you to go on, okay? So I walk out of the thing, and I come back, and he's gone. But the next day in the same shed, he's curled up on my toolbox. And so I think, and this snake ain't afraid of me. And so I'm thinking, a wild animal that's not afraid of you, you better take notice because you might get hurt. So anyway, me and him parted company, and I'm not going to go into how, but you know, anyway, we parted company, okay? Because God made them think they're supposed to be afraid of you. And so wild animals, coyotes, all of them are afraid of you. But if it's not afraid of you, they might have rabies, so you beware. But anyway, it said God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female. There we go. Don't have to go no further. That's it. Male and female. God done it. God's word. God is great. God is good. God is magnificent. He made us. Male and female, a woman and a man. Case closed. That's it. It said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. You know, God is a family man. God is a family man, isn't he? God likes families. You ever notice that everything that he made out here, he makes it like a family, doesn't he? A mother and a daddy and children. That little deer, it was a mother and two little babies, wasn't it? Everything is a mother and a father, a male and a female, and children. You know, God is a family man. And anything or anybody that tries to destroy that and do away with what God created, you know, is straight out of the pits of hell. Anything that tries to destroy families. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, years ago, Hollywood come up with this old thing, they get away from the Bible words. It's good to use what the Bible calls it, okay? And the Bible, and God gave us those commandments. We refer to them as the Ten Commandments. A lot more than ten, but those commandments, God created those, didn't he? God created those things, and he wrote them on a piece of stone with his finger. Give them to Moses with his finger. You ever thought about that? How magnificent that is, that you could write in stone with your finger? He wrote those commandments with his finger in stone. And he created those commandments. And you know, if we live by those commandments, if a society lives by those commandments, do you know everything works like clockwork? You know, everything goes so smooth. You know, if nobody was stealing anything, well, life would be better, wouldn't it? If nobody was killing anybody, wouldn't life be a lot better? And if nobody was committing adultery, wouldn't life be a lot better? See, all of, committing adultery in Hollywood, they changed the name of it. They call it having an affair. Well, that don't sound too bad, does it? You know, they make it look like it. They glorify it, don't they? But that's straight out of the pits of hell because, they're destroying the family. That's what it is, destroying the family. And all this other wild, wicked, crazy stuff is a destruction of the family. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to go into all of it. But anyway, that's the way it is. Anything that destroys, tries to destroy what God set up is evil. You know, God is good and God is miraculous. It said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, one time a little boy went to church and he come home. I said, well, what did you learn today? And the preacher read this, see. He said, well, I learned that God made us out of dirt. And so, you know, that's right, isn't it? God made us out of dirt. He said, out of the dust of the ground formed he man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man was Adam, wasn't he? And that man was Adam, and God made him a wife. God made him a wife. God put him to sleep. And you know what he did? He took one of his ribs and made him a wife. And her name was Eve, a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden. You know, the first two people that God ever made upon the earth. And as I said before, Adam named the animals, didn't he? Adam named them. But anyway, let's continue on. See, God is magnificent. God is mighty and he is magnificent. As you go to Job, now this is more in the creation right here. If you got your Bible and you want to go to Job chapter 40. So you know all the stuff that happened to Job. You know, Job, you know, everything bad seemed like was happening to Job, and Job couldn't figure it out. You know, a lot of things, you know, we can't figure out what's going on. A lot of times we don't know what's going on. We can't figure it out. We're not smart enough to figure it out. See, Job, something was happening to Job, and Job was a good man. The Bible refers to him as perfect and upright, a good man, wasn't he? And he was so good that he prayed for all of his kids. He had three sons and seven daughters. You know, he'd pray for them every day. In case, you know, they hadn't prayed or just in case they did something. But anyway, Job would pray for all of his children every day. And, you know, it happened. Things started happening. But it was actually, see, the devil, he told God said, what are you doing? He said, going to and fro and walking up in the earth. And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Oh," I said, "if you'll take everything Job's got, you know, he'll turn on you." And you know, the Lord, I don't know why the Lord was doing this. The Lord is the Lord. He can do anything he wants to. You know, God can do everything. You know, whatever he does is right. Anyway, he said, "Well, go ahead." He just turned the devil loose a little bit, didn't he? But he said, "Don't touch his life." So he winds up basically destroying everything that Job had as far as material things. And then poor old Job, you know, then they said the sons of God met again. Then came the devil among them, said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Going to and fro and walking up and down in the earth." And he said something about Job. And he said, "Well, if you touch his skin or his body, you know, he'll turn on you, Lord." That's not the wording of it. I don't have the wording right, but the meaning is the same. And the Lord turned him loose, but he wasn't allowed to kill him. See, the devil was only operating as far as the Lord allowed him. And then he touched Job, and Job, you know, he was stricken with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He was scraping them boils, you know, with an old piece of pottery, and he was in misery. He was in a bad shape, Job, but he didn't know what was going on. And then he had three friends that wanted to come and comfort him. They didn't comfort him at all. The Bible refers to them as miserable comforters, wasn't it? They had everything wrong, didn't they? They thought they had God all figured out, didn't they? But they didn't have God figured out, did they? They was telling Job, "You sinned, okay? You know, that's why this is happening to you, because you have sinned, okay?" But Job wouldn't go along with it. He couldn't think of what he'd done, see? And really, he had not done anything to cause that. You know, sometimes when bad things happen to people, they say, "Oh, you must have done something." That's what was in three miserable comforters that was talking there. When you had to do something, you know, somebody have a car wreck, wonder what he'd done. Didn't do nothing. You know, some things just happen, you know. Sometimes people break the law and do different things. You know, you can't say somebody is doing that, they're being punished for their sin. That's like my dad one time, you know. You know, a tornado hit their church. You know, it tore part of the roof off of the church. And my dad, he's talking to his sister. And he said, "Well, I hope the Lord ain't punishing us." And my aunt said, "Oh, no, you know, he's not punishing us." He said, "Seal, if he's tearing your stuff up, he must be punishing you." She said, "No, the Lord don't punish you. If he's punishing you, he'll let you know what he's punishing you for. He wouldn't punish you without you knowing it." And she was right. You know, the Lord is a God of judgment, but the Lord is a God of mercy too. And the Lord is a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a great God, and he's a good God. But anyway, he's like your own little children. You wouldn't grab one of your little children up and whip them without letting them know what you're whipping them for, would you? You know, you correct them. But, you know, everybody's life is not that way. I cut a guy's hair one day, you know, and he said, "My daddy, he was mean to us." And he said, "He'd just walk by you and just backhand you and stuff like that." You know, he said he was just a mean person. See, that stuff like that is awful, isn't it? You know, you love your little children and take care of them. Love them. You know, they're a blessing from God, okay? And when my daughter was born, there was this guy that come in one day, and he said, "Frank," said, when you got that little baby, he said, "You know," he said, "don't ever let it go in your mind about how hard you're having to work and, you know, all the things you have to go through to take care of that baby." He said, "You look at that baby like it's a gift from God, okay? God gave you that baby, okay? It's a gift from God." He said, "Because you'll turn around three times, they'll be grown." And boy, he's right, isn't he? And I tell a lot of people that. I say, you know, that baby, you look at it like it's a gift from God, because it is. You know, God is magnificent. God is great. But we're in the book of Job. And in Job in chapter 40, all of those, that's conversation. You know, one of them will be speaking, the Eliphaz will be speaking, another will be speaking, this one will be speaking, then Job is speaking, and then we get down to 40, and then God starts speaking, okay? You know, you better sit up and pay attention when God starts speaking, don't you? It says in chapter 40, verse 1, he said, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." And you know what Job said? "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." He was right to do that when God is God. The potter hath power over the clay. Nabot, who art thou that repliest against God? You don't reply against God, do you? Then God begins to speak, doesn't he? And as we get down there to verse 15 of Job 40, he says, "Behold now," see, the Lord is showing him how magnificent he is in the creation and how powerful he is. And we're just little man, okay? Little man, just little mortal man that lived somewhere between conception and 120 years old, and then we pass away. God is forever. Always has been, always will be. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is, which was, and which shall be." Always, he'll always be here forever. God is God. But the Lord, you know, the Lord's telling Job about an animal here. And the Bible calls it behemoth. And, you know, I look in the center column, and it talks about, you know, some of the scholars think that's an elephant. And it might be. You know, I'm not going to argue with it, but I'm going to read you this about this behemoth. And he's talking to Job. And you know something? Even though we don't know what that is, Job knew what it was, didn't he? Job knew what the Lord is talking about. See, the Lord's talking to Job. He said, "Behold now behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong as a piece of brass." This is a magnificent animal, isn't it? We all of you kids have studied at school or somewhere, probably in books about those dinosaurs. You know, we've never had none in our lifetime. We don't know what they are. We've never seen them. But we know we've seen evidence that they were on the earth at one time or another. And as we read on, it makes you think that some of this stuff might be something like that. But anyway, he says he is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach him. In other words, he's saying to Job, "I can handle him. I made him. I have power over him. You know, I own him, okay?" He said, "Surely the mountains bring forth food for him." Lord feeds him. Lord feeds all the wild animals, doesn't he? You ever realize that God's earth, he's got it set up, where there's enough food to feed everybody. And, you know, you say, well, people are starving all over the world. You know, it's usually they're starving because of wickedness. You know, they want to kill one another. People want to get in wars and kill one another, and they're spending all the money for weapons and ammo and stuff like that rather than buying food. If people would quit killing one another, there'd be plenty of food for the whole earth. Nobody would be hungry. But anyway, he said that God makes food for all of the animals and feeds them. He said this particular animal said he lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river. Sound like a pretty magnificent animal to me, don't you? He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan in his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through the snares. And then the Lord goes into another animal. And this one, you know, in the center column of my Bible, it calls it a whale. But it don't sound like a whale to me. He said, can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? And see, the Lord goes on talking about this animal. And he gets down there, and he said, Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down that just even by the sight of him? This is a magnificent animal, but Job knows what he's talking about, don't he? He's talking to Job. Job knows what it is. He said, none is so fierce that dare to stir him up. Who then is able to stand before him? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. See, God's saying, no, that animal, I made that animal. I created him. I can control him, okay? Because I created him. God is magnificent. God is great. Let's read on about this animal. It said, out of his mouth go a burning lamps. This is verse 19 of Job 41. He said, as sparks and fire leap out. Do you know of any animal that sparks come out of their mouth? Let's keep reading. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke. We've seen that on TV, haven't we? In the movies. I've never seen nothing like that in person. He said, out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or a cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. You ever seen anything that breathes fire? I hadn't. God has. God made it. Job knows what he's talking about too, don't he? He says, in his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy. Said, when he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. This is a magnificent animal, isn't it? You say, well, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. You know, it sounds like a fire-breathing dragon to me. It might be some kind of dinosaur. I don't know what it is. I'm not that smart. You know, this is God's Word, but we don't, you know, even preachers don't know everything that's in God's Word. You know, we like to sort of think we do sometimes, but we don't, you know. But anyway, God knew what it was, and Job knew what it was, okay? Because God made it. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. See, God even knows what we think. All of the thoughts that go through our mind, God knows all about them, doesn't he? Let's continue on, okay? We're talking about how magnificent God is. And you know, God made the earth, he made the heavens, and made all these things with his fingers. And God is great, and God is good. What is the definition of good? You ever thought about that? What is the definition of good? You know, we're supposed to be good, aren't we? God is good. We're supposed to be good. You know what good is? It's opposite from evil, isn't it? Everybody knows what evil is, don't we? We all know what evil is. But good is opposite from evil, isn't it? God is good. But you know why God is so good? Because God is love, isn't it? God is love. God created love, isn't it? We turn to the book of John. First John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." That's where love come from. God, I'd hate to live in a world where there was no love. He said, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." That's why God is so good, because God is love, isn't he? God is love. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Why did he do that? Where did that sin come from anyway? Well, the Bible tells us it came, came by one man, didn't it? Adam. Adam sinned, for by one man sin entered into the world. It entered in through Adam, didn't it? In the Garden of Eden. See, God had them in a perfect place. All they had to do was do what they told and obey God. But they didn't do it, did they? Then that brought sin into the world. They listened to the devil, didn't they? They listened to the devil. Eve was deceived by the devil, and Adam willfully disobeyed. And when they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which the Lord told them, don't eat of it and don't even touch it, for in the day that you touch it, you shall surely die. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they died. So, well, wait a minute, I read where in the Bible that where old Job lived, like 100 and something years more. He did. But the Bible said they died that day. You know how they died? They died in sin, didn't they? Say, so, well, what is death? What is dead? Dead means you're dead. You've seen an opossum on the road? It can't do nothing. You know why? Because it's dead. That possum is dead. It can't do nothing. It can't move. It can't get up. It can't do nothing. That's the way that we were in sin. People say, well, you start going to church, and read the Bible and get baptized and all, and that'll take care of it. If you're dead, you can't do that, can you? You can't do nothing. You're helpless. We were dead in sins. And the reason we were is because Adam sinned, and he was our representative father. That plunged all of us into that situation, and we were in a situation where we couldn't get out of it, wouldn't we? We needed help to get out of it, didn't we? And God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, to go to the cross and shed his blood and die for us. And then he rose from the dead and sat back upon the right hand of the majesty on high. But in his death, burial, and his resurrection, he got us out of that death and sin, didn't he? And he borned us again, didn't he? He borned us again of his spirit. Every child, every member of the elect family of God, somewhere between conception and the grave, will be born again of his spirit. So how does that happen? We talked about that a little bit last night, about the spiritual birth. What do you do for it? What did you do to get born to start with? Nothing. What do you do now to get born again? Nothing. You're simply, just the subject of God, ain't you? God, except a man be born again, born from God. God borns you again. Somewhere between conception and the grave, all of God's children are born again, aren't they? And once you're born again, you're not dead, are you? You're alive. You're alive. You're alive. And God loved you so much that he didn't leave you in that situation, did he? But it said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." He loved us, didn't he? He loved us. He sent his son to be a propitiation for us. All right, how did that happen anyway? Well, God is great and God is miraculous. And when he sent his son into the world, look how he done it in a magnificent way. As you go to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, they said in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Why did God choose to do it this way? Because he is God. You know, God is magnificent. God is great. You know, God is good. God loves us, doesn't he? You know, Jeremiah 31:3 says he loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness hath he drawn us. But anyway, by a miraculous way, he sent an angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. So, well, you mean God uses angels? Yeah, those angels have a lot of power, don't they? There is one place in there where one angel killed 185,000 people by himself. I mean, that is magnificent. This is just like one angel. Just think what 10,000 of them could do. You know, God is magnificent, isn't he? But anyway, he sent, when the way his son came into the world, you know, he sent the angel to a little virgin, Mary. And I'm going to read a little bit as we go down through. I know time is slipping away. It said, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, here the angel is telling this little girl this. She's a virgin girl. This is a miracle. The only miracle. This is the only miracle of its kind that ever took place. The only kind that ever will. It won't happen again. He said, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, I think, said, And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Said, He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're sitting in it this morning. You know, this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this kingdom is still going on. This kingdom will be going on somewhere at the end of time. May not be here in Georgia, may not be in Tennessee, but it'll be going on somewhere at the end of time, won't it? It said, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, that's a miracle of God, isn't it? Just like he created the heaven and earth. And God said, Let there be light. And God said, you know, God was miraculous, wasn't he? It said, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. That was John the Baptist, wasn't it? That was John the Baptist, wasn't it? For with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, God is magnificent, isn't he? God is magnificent. So, well, how magnificent is he? Well, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that last part That covers the church of Macedonia, doesn't it? The faithful in Christ Jesus is you, isn't it? Y'all are part of that, aren't you? So the message is to you too, isn't it? He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And listen to this one. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. How could he do that when you didn't exist? We weren't around. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. In the mind and purpose of God, he knew you, didn't he? He knows us, don't he? God knows us. He said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And listen to what else he done. Having predestinated, predetermined a journey. Said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God adopted us, didn't he? We're adopted children. You know, we're God's children. He adopted us through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And listen, look at verse 7. What did he do when he went to the cross? He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That means all of our sins are forgiven. Which one did it not cover? It covered them all, didn't it? Our sins are forgiven. When Christ shed his blood and went to the cross, by his death, burial, and resurrection, covered all sins. Every one of them. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Listen to verse 7 there. Verse 11. In whom, look what else he done for you. He gave you an inheritance, didn't he? He gave you an inheritance. You know what that inheritance is? It is heaven. Heaven is wonderful, isn't it? Heaven, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's in the past tense. It's yours. It's already done. It's a done deal, isn't it? Having obtained, you know, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All right, as we get on over, if you keep going through in the Ephesians chapter 2 there, that 2:1 tells you about the spiritual birth again, doesn't it? And you hath he quickened. He's the one done it, didn't he? He's the one that done it. You didn't do nothing for it. And then you get on up there at verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. In Christ, in the God is so great, isn't he? God is great and God is good. And all the good gifts comes down from the Father of lights with no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yeah, all the good gifts come from God. Says, and when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. All right, I'm going to turn over. It's time to quit. Usually when I get to preaching, I tell my wife to give me a sign or something, you know. It's time to quit, see. But anyway, I'm going to close out with Psalm 100. The Lord will be with me. This is instruction. So, well, now that Christ has done all that, heaven is my home, what am I going to do? I'm just going to go home and get in my recliner and just rock myself to sleep and just not worry about it. Well, we better not do that. There's plenty to do. We're supposed to come to church, ain't we? We're supposed to worship. We're supposed to be good. We're supposed to do what God wants us to do. But he says right here in Psalm 100, he said, make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know what that means? That means we're supposed to live and try to do what's pleasing to God, aren't we? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to be happy, you know, to be able to come into church and worship. We ought to be happy, you know, to read our Bibles. We ought to be happy to pray. We ought to be happy just to look out there and say, boy, God is so great. He's so good. Look at that beautiful creation of His. He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures. We're God's sheep, aren't we? We're sheep of His pastures. And He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, we're supposed to be thankful for everything that God does for us. Be very thankful for it. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food and everything He does for us. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I'm going to go back to the little poem we started with, or the little rhyme. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food and everything else. Read the Bible and always pray and do your best every day. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come among you this morning. And the Lord is so good to us. I'm going to turn it back over. Go ahead. Okay, this morning, after the preaching of the gospel, we sing a song. And while we sing that song, if there's anybody here that would like to be a member of the church, if you'd like to join the church and be baptized, you know, you come up while we're singing and let it be known, and all these deacon brethren and the church members will take care of it for you.